Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles now to Acts chapter 4. It's amazing how God just brings everything back where it needs to be. Amen. Look at verse number 18, if you would please, tonight. A familiar passage of Scripture where Peter and John have been arrested. And in verse 18, the authorities have something to say to them. It says, they called them, that is Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Now, it's kind of interesting that I had determined to preach this particular message, and what's probably going to be more than one message, before we heard about these missionaries and what they are dealing with. But you know, the Bible teaches that we are to submit to God-appointed authorities. And some of the authorities that God has placed in our life, if you're a wife, God has given you a husband. And ladies, may I say this very clearly, that is a God-appointed authority in your life. Parents are God-appointed authorities. Okay? Many of us who still have parents alive, we understand that. The government is a God-appointed authority. The church is a God-appointed authority. And I'm going to add to that list, your employer is also a God-appointed authority. And it's easy to tell in the New Testament which are God-appointed authorities, because there'll always be a command in there somewhere that says, submit yourselves. Okay? So when you find those, you say, wait a minute, who am I supposed to submit to? And you'll find out who your God-appointed authorities are very, very quickly. Okay? Now, having said that, do we understand that God-appointed authorities are not always right? See, that's the hard part. See, that scripture that I read there, Peter and John were crossways with their authority. Yeah, but the authority was wrong. And you know, increasingly in our time, we are being faced with ungodly choices. Ungodly authorities. As our government becomes more and more secular, as families are being pried loose from the Judeo-Christian ethic, we're going to find ourselves more and more frequently at odds with our authorities. And by the way, can I just say tonight that I know a number of you are even today, you find yourself in difficult situations with your God-appointed authority. And I want to strongly encourage you to keep some notes over the next couple of weeks. And then put those where you can find them. Because you're going to reference them more than one time. So what kind of situations may you be talking about? Well, how about if a husband says, well, you know what? I'm going to smoke pot whether you like it or not. Would a godly wife find herself at odds with a husband who was a dope smoker? I certainly hope so. How about a parent who simply says to a teenager, no, you can't go to church anymore? Happens all the time. How about a government that says, doesn't matter what you believe, you're going to support abortion with your tax money? Ooh. Churches can give wrong commands. There are churches who will say, well, if you must pay 10% of your salary to the church. And any church who comes to you and says you must is step beyond biblical boundaries. See, giving is grace, not commandment. How about an employer who says, nope, sorry, you're going to work here, you're going to work on Sunday? Well, wait a minute, that happens to a lot of us. Well, I submit that if it happens sometimes, we're going to be enough to find ourselves at odds with our authority. You say, wow, Brother Tom, you mean this is like life. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you know what? We would be amiss if we didn't recognize that the Bible has some things to tell us about life. Amen. And the things that God wants us to know, He wants us to know for our good and for His glory. And I'm just telling you tonight, and the reason I believe God led me down this path is because as His people, we're going to be pushed harder and harder and harder. And unfortunately, we're like the frog in the pot of water. Okay? Many times we don't recognize how hot the water is and we just keep paddling around. And we're going to find ourselves boiled if we don't figure out how to manage this kind of pressure. Say, well, what do you do? And I'm going to give you some information, and I'm going to tell you right away that I borrowed it from someone else. In this case, much of it came from the basic seminar. But it's how we as Christians are to respond when we are asked to do something that is wrong. When we are asked to do something that is wrong by our authorities. Now, you say, wait a minute, listen, you just make the notes and you pray over what I'm telling you. Okay, and if it doesn't work, then you come back and we'll talk about it. Okay? But I want to strongly encourage you to follow through these steps of action, because I'm going to give you specific steps to deal with a situation where you're being asked to do something that you know is wrong. Okay? All right. Well, what's the first thing you do when something you're asked to do something that's wrong? Now, it would be very interesting tonight, and I don't have my lapel mic, and I may have to get it because I can't hardly stay here.
See if I can
get hooked up and paperclipped in. Get off for just a moment, please, okay? Because I'm going to paperclip this thing, maybe. Now I broke the paperclip. I could break a steel ball, do you know that? Do what? Yeah, a bowling ball with a rubber mallet. I could do it. I could do it. I'm distantly related to the loonies. Well, that didn't work. What's the 10% rule? You got to be 10% smarter than the paperclip you're trying to operate, right? What? I'll leave her alone. Her judgment was impaired when she said yes. She was in love. Okay. All right. That's better. It's going to work now. Yeah. It'd be interesting if I could walk around the room and ask each of you individually, when someone, your authorities, ask you to do something that you know is wrong, how do you react to that? And I'd venture to say that in most cases, your reaction would reveal a great deal about your relationship to that authority. Somebody who's crossways with their parents, okay, is just waiting to get even. They are waiting for their parents to tell them to do something that's unbiblical. Because the minute they do, I'm getting even. Right? Now, I know that no wives would be like that. Okay. But see, the problem is that the first thing we have to do, and you're going to like this, in fact, you probably won't like this, the first thing you do when somebody asks you to do something wrong is you check your attitude. Check your attitude. Say, wait a minute, Brother Tom. They're the ones that are asking me to do something wrong. Yeah, but you know what? Those attitudes can provoke some interesting behavior. In fact, I'm probably the world's worst for this. Brother Currington in our RU program, he was talking one time about a quandary he had with child discipline. He wasn't sure how he should discipline his children, why he should discipline his children. And his pastor was teaching, and it just came right out of the blue. It was something he was praying about. And the pastor said, we discipline in our house for two reasons, direct disobedience and bad attitudes. He said that was the answer. You know what? Parents, did any of you discipline for bad attitudes? Huh? Yeah, I mean, I'm one who's been known to call the application of the Board of Education a direct attitude adjustment. Right? Why? Because attitude's important. And if your attitude is wrong with your authority, then I assure you that attitude is going to provoke a response. Now, if that attitude is your parents, it may get you paddled. If that attitude is your parents, it may get you a no when you wanted a yes. And I'm going to tell you what, the first thing you better think about when you get an instruction from your authority that is contrary to what you believe God would have you do is check your own attitude. For example, an independent spirit is a basis for disloyalty. Now listen to me carefully. An independent spirit is already in rebellion. Okay? You can't tell me anything. I'm the boss here. You know, I've spent a lot of time working with teenagers. And bless your heart, teenagers, I am probably just going to hammer you guys in the ground tonight, all right? Because of this attitude thing. Okay? But by the way, rebellious teenagers grow up to be rebellious adults. Okay, so any of you adults who are rebellious, you might as well be teenagers because I'm going to get you too. Amen? All right? Listen, an independent spirit is already in rebellion, and a rebellious spirit will invariably raise up animosity from your authority. Now, I can give you a personal, terrible example. I pulled out of church in Gallatin where we were going to church there. I just pulled out onto the highway and I was accelerating, getting up to speed there on the road in front of the church. And I got up to 40 instead of 30. Was not paying the least bit of attention. Okay? Until the blue lights came on behind me. And you know what? I was aggravated, not because I was speeding, not because she had pulled me over, but because I just wasn't paying attention. And I was wrong. And I pulled over and I was annoyed. And she walked up to that window, and the first thing she picked up was that attitude. Now, she didn't know what it was about, and I wasn't mad at her, but she reacted. Hey, she didn't even ask me any questions. She just wrote me my ticket. Now, she might not have intended to, but as soon as she picked up that attitude, she reacted. Folks, many, many times we provoke reactions from our authorities just because of the way we deal with them. Okay? Now, parents, I know you are wise, you're godly, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you would never react to an attitude in your children in an ungodly fashion. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, okay? I see a lot of happy smiles and sheepish grins, right? Yeah, it happens that way. Folks, when we're dealing with authority in our own life, if you've got that independent spirit, you can't tell me anything. You know what? They already know that. And my problem is that I can get real impatient with those guys in a hurry. Real impatient with those guys in a hurry. Okay? Too much of a hurry, actually. But listen, if you've got an independent spirit, you shouldn't expect cooperation from your authority. If you know you're in rebellion against them, check your attitude. Second, a condemning spirit is the basis of self-righteousness. Wife, your husband comes in, he says something to you, you run that against your Bible file. Bing, up comes a flag. That ain't right. And the first thought, and I hope not the first words out of your mouth, you're wrong and you are an ungodly heathen. Now that's going to help. Amen. Huh? That's going to help. What are you doing? You are judging You are condemning, okay? And your spirit, rather than being one of submission to that authority, is one of self-righteousness. I'm right, you're wrong. Now, how's that working for you? Ethan said, don't work worth a squat, amen. That's right, Ethan. It don't work at all, does it? Let me just borrow something from Brother Bond. Show a little grace, okay? Be real careful with those attitudes. An ungrateful spirit is a basis of pride. An ungrateful spirit. Ingratitude is simply refusing to acknowledge the contributions that others have made in my life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show that to you for just a second. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. The Bible says this, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" See how many times we think we deserve it. We've earned it. You know, I actually hate listening to athletes being interviewed after a successful whatever. Because an honest athlete, if he was asked how he made the miraculous whatever he made, whether it was a catch, a goal, or whatever it was, okay, he would have to give credit to every teacher that he ever had, to all the coaches, to all the players he copied, to the parents who brought him into the world and fed his ungrateful fanny, and for the college that took him in, and for the God that gave him the ability to do what he did in the first place. You say, well, how do you account for that marvelous interception? It ought to take him an hour. And folks, anything less is ingratitude. You know, ingratitude. Boy, I tell you what, authorities, you guys who are authority figures in here, do you react to ingratitude? No, not much, huh? You know, I'm looking at Candace and Matthew back here, and I'm enjoying this greatly. How old is Abigail? 6 months, okay? I'm enjoying this greatly, okay? You guys are going to enjoy it even more. You're going to be closer to it, all right? But what goes around comes around, right? Amen? And I'm not saying you guys were rebellious and had bad attitudes. Far be it from me to say such a thing. But you are going to be raising children. And at one time or another, they are going to demonstrate every attitude that I'm going to talk about tonight. And you will find that when your child demonstrates ingratitude, you just want to hug them and love them and bless them and knock their little heads off, you know? Yeah. So how is your authority figure going to deal with your ingratitude? Folks, employees, you guys who have a job, okay? Man, are you thankful for your job? You know what? I am the worst, okay, for rebellion. All right, I'll just go ahead and fess up. I know so much about it because I are so much of it, okay? But man, you know, I've learned over the years. God has beat me to death with this thing. And if you got a job, you ought to be thrilled tonight. Because sometimes jobs can be hard to come by. And Lord, let me look for one for a while. I've never forgotten that. It's like folks who lived through the Depression. They don't waste a whole lot. They haven't forgotten that. And you know what? We've forgotten, haven't we? Folks, we need to learn to be grateful. A lazy spirit. Have you got a lazy spirit? You know, a lazy spirit's a basis for dishonesty. And ultimately, it'll get you poverty, too. How many Navy guys have I got in here? Any Navy guys? Jack, what's it mean to gun deck the log? Falsify it, right? You're supposed to do a round. You're supposed to go out there and check the equipment. You're supposed to look at the pumps and the valves. You're supposed to check the gauges. You're supposed to make sure everything goes. And if you gun deck it, you just sit where you are and do it with a pencil. Folks, you do enough of that, you'll be unemployed. And the motivation is simply, I don't want to go do it. Now, there are a lot of attitudes involved there, but one of them is pure laziness. And laziness will not only get you, make you dishonest, it'll also get you unemployed. And you know, what's funny about this is you find people who are genuinely lazy. First of all, they lose the job because they wouldn't do the work. And second, they won't do the work of looking for another job. What is it we call those folks? Never mind. No, there's another word I'm looking for, but when I find it, I probably wouldn't say it anyway. Amen. So we'll just leave that one be. Folks, if you got a lazy spirit, have you got a bitter spirit? And a bitter spirit is the basis of selfishness. You know, a bitter spirit simply says, you know, it's all about me. That's what a bitter spirit is. A bitter spirit is, they hurt my feelings. They didn't keep a promise. They, me, me, me. And I'm angry about it. And since I'm angry about it, I'm not forgiving. And when I don't forgive, I breed bitterness. And you know what I've noticed about bitterness? You can hear it. You can feel it when you're around bitter folk. I've heard it here. I'm not going to go any further than that. You know, I remember a time I was working at the old Cracker Barrel. By the way, that was one of the times I was grateful for my job. Amen. $9.90 an hour at the Cracker Barrel. But I was angry at one of our managers. And I was bitter at this guy. And you know what? I was bitter for no reason. How many times does that happen? You don't have a reason to be angry. You have a reason to be bitter. I just don't like the color of his eyes. And it reached a point where that poor guy couldn't open his mouth without me shoving something in it for him. Right? Unfortunately, I've mellowed over the years. But I get in the flesh. The poor guy, I felt bad for the guy, finally. And I realized that the problem was not him. The problem was me. And it was a root of bitterness that had sprung up in my life. And I finally had to go catch that guy. I said, look. I said, I have been on your case. And I said, that's purely my fault. You've done nothing to deserve that. And I am so sorry. And I apologize. And he went, whew, thank goodness that's over. You know. Well, man, I was on him hard. And you know what I was going to do? Basically, I was going to push him in the way. He had to leave or get rid of me. It'd get that bad. Folks, do you have a bitter spirit towards your authority? And then finally, an impure spirit is a basis for self-indulgence. Impure. Impure means unholy. It means dirty. It means a spirit that's wallowing in muck and filth. And what happens is you let your mind wander off into the gutter and the rest of you follows it. Just like little ducklings. Titus 1:15 has a really good description of that. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. I want to give you a personal observation here. You let your guard slip in one area of your life, the rest of them come crashing down with it. Now, that's an RU observation. That comes from dealing with some habits in my life that I need to correct. And I have found that if I let my guard down, if I let slip that one area, that everything else just follows it right down the drain. So what are you saying? I'm saying that impure spirit is a basis of indulgence. Once I begin feeding the flesh begins to rule and reign. And if I'm indulging myself, where's that going to leave me with my authority? Folks, are you beginning to pick something up here? If I'm having problems with my authority, there's a really good chance the problem is not with them.
The problem is with me. Folks, I want to say right there that with those attitudes, if we can solve those attitudes, those spirits, that most of our problems with authority will stop right there. And you think about it, this is, oh boy, common sense is not common, right? Okay, but this is reasonable. This is rational. If I have a good attitude, and just say, for example, I'm a student, I'm a teenager, right? I only have a few of those in here. And if I'm a teenager and I keep a good attitude about my relationship with my parents and I'm seeking to please them and be grateful, and you know what? I'll usually find them willing to listen when I have a problem. But if I got a kid who's constantly bucking and fighting and fussing and all, when they do come with a problem, would I want to hear it? No, because you haven't done anything but cause me problems. Welcome to my world. Folks, if we'll straighten out ourselves, if we'll get the beam out, then we'll find it a lot easier to deal with the splinter. Step one, check your spirit. Step two is clear your conscience. Now, okay, I've checked all my attitudes and I say, you know what? Let's see, I listed about how many attitudes there? About six different attitudes, and I check my attitude, my relationship with my authority, and I find that when I check those six attitudes, that five and a half of them are out to lunch. Five and a half of them, I'm in bad shape. So the first thing I better do is I better correct the attitudes. Folks, if the Lord shows you something in the mirror, it's there for you to fix, okay? Not to ignore. Right? When you see something in the glass, don't walk away and stay the same. Change it. If you take the lazy attitude, change it. If you've got a rebellious attitude, you determine to submit. If you've got a judgmental or condemning attitude, learn some respect and deference. And the first step toward rebuilding your relationship with your authority is to get your own spirit right about the thing. Second, fulfill the wishes and unfinished directions of those in authority. Now, I love to pick on my own children, okay? And my own children love to be picked on, okay? In fact, even Bilbo likes to be used as an illustration, okay? In fact, maybe I should use Bilbo now. It's safer, okay? Listen, if I've got something I've been trying to get you to do for 20 months, 20 years, you know what we say about kids? You spend 2 years teaching them to talk and 16 trying to teach them how to shut up. Huh? You hadn't heard that? Oh, wait till I tell you about the barrel and the bunghole, okay? but the fact is, I've been trying to get this kid to do something for years. Right? And you know, she's got a right attitude. I mean, I can tell something's going on there. She's actually not snarling when I walk by. Okay, so there's progress. But the things that I've been trying to get her to do for 20 years, she still ain't doing. Well, how much is that going to help us? Now that your attitude is better, let it show in your obedience. In your submission. I'm not staring at you, darling. See, all that list that just ran through your head, it didn't run through mine. It's in yours, not mine, okay? I am not at fault here. We call that the Holy Spirit, amen? Okay. All right, I didn't do it, man. Proverbs 14:35 says, "The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame." Folks, first thing you do, you get your heart right. Second, you do what you've been asked to do. Finish what you haven't finished. Do the things that you know are going to please your authority. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if your attitude gets right and you begin to do the things that he's been asking you to do, he's going to know you're up to something. Amen. There's not a mother on this planet that her little eyebrow won't go up. She goes, I wonder what's up here. That's okay.
Folks, if you've been wrong, you've got to go ask forgiveness.
And can I tell you, that's about one of the hardest things I've ever had to learn to do. And boy, I have to do it about every week. You know, Miss Sherry, don't you laugh at me. Okay. I know I should probably do it more often than that, right? But I have to do it about every week. And if you need to apologize to authority, apologize. And I guarantee you at this point they suspect an ulterior motive. Right? But you know what? You do have an ulterior motive. You're trying to heal a relationship. Because you're fixing to be a real conflict. And before you take that step, you want to make everything as right as you can.
If you need to make restitution, make it.
How many of you had to do that? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Okay. But you know what? Next to apologizing, that one's tough too. Because you got. Sometimes I've had to go back to people I've known for years and say, you know what? Oh, I hate doing this. But I need to fix this. And the Lord's not going to let me rest until I do.
If you need to fix something, you fix it. And you know, sometimes you need to learn deference. An awful lot of what we fight over is meaningless. Really. Okay. I mean, we can find a way to get a conflict going over just about anything. And really, if we will learn deference, if we will learn to limit our freedom to avoid offending another, then that thing's going to work better. And can I add too, if that person is your authority and they dictate something that's just not to your taste, okay, now I'm not talking about something that's a biblical directive, a biblical principle. I'm saying they're dictating you, they're sending you in a direction. They want it to be blue and you want it to be purple. Okay, you know, sometimes it's better just let it be blue. Because then you're exercising some things. You're exercising discernment. You're being deferent. Okay? You're submitting to your authority. And folks, there's some battles that you shouldn't fight. That's why God gave you authorities. Help you learn the difference. Well, I'm going to stop there tonight because I've got 5 more steps. Okay? And I was thinking about this, and I said, man, I wanted to start this, but now next Sunday morning, Brother Glenn Bond will hear, and then Sunday night, we have a youth night, and the following Sunday morning, do I get to preach then? Okay, then we'll pick it up then. We'll pick it up on a Sunday morning, because there are a lot of folks who need to hear these steps who will be back then. Okay, because folks, we all need to be reminded of this. Tax time, isn't it? Tax time. Everybody's favorite time to submit to the government, right? Tax time. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see any sheepish grins. I just see steam. Okay. Parents, you have to deal with authorities. Teenagers, you have to deal with authorities. Employees, you have to deal with authorities. Wives, you have to deal with authorities. There are none of us. In fact, you know, our watchman Nee gave wonderful advice. He said the first thing you ought to do in any given situation is find out where your authority is. So you know where you ought to be. Boy, that's good counsel. And one of the other things he said was you know you're not under authority if the first thing you begin to think about is how you can make the situation better. Now, I'll let you meditate on that one. Yeah. All right. Folks, when you're asked to do something wrong, step one is to check your attitude. Step two is to clear your conscience. Eventually, we're going to get to step 7, which is where we started in the book of Acts, where they said it's better to obey God than to man. And eventually you get there. But I encourage you tonight, if you will follow those first 6 steps, you won't get there very often. In fact, if you follow step 1, you won't get there very often. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for it.